Okay, we're starting from the first Rashi. The first Rashi as usual. Okay, first Rashi. Eilad Vodim. Lefi Shehein Divrei Techochos. Since these are words of rebuke, Monokan Kol HaMakoymet Shechitu Lefnei HaMokoyim. Bohen, he counts out all of the places in which they made the Rebbeinu Shel Olam upset. Lafikoch sofa mes advarim, he keeps it closed, unclear. Right, that's one of the meschoyes. Vaychichom beremes, or vezkirom beremes, and v'nei kavodim shel Yisrael. So they're mentioned, but they're mentioned subtly, as a hint. They quote the Yisrael. Many Rishonim have a big kasha. No more Rashi said. I'm only going to go through one of them, because the rest are more technical. And this one has a very interesting Yisrael and a lesson. It says, Abeinu Yoichanan Luria. That's the kasha. Again, like I said, many Rishonim ask this kasha. He says, some of the things that were mentioned here as hints is the Meraglim, the Eagle. Look further in the same passage, and you'll see that the Meraglim and the Eagle are very clearly and specifically discussed. The Meraglim, the whole story of the Meraglim is in the sixth passage. Which one is it? You want to only be very oblique about it? Okay? I don't speak openly? Okay. But first you remiss, frames of Yisrael, and then you go blast them openly. So what's going on? In Parshas Ekev, further in the same speech of Moshe Rabbeinu, they have disturbed the ego. Very clearly and broadly enunciated. And many Techoches says, Loisen Asar Shashem Alikirin Gashen Yisitem Bamaso. Never do that again. He sees a mamasa. So what's going on? How do you have it both ways? How do you tell me it's only beremes? Greater than zero. Another hand. A little further. It's all openly stated. Nothing's a secret. It's like as a many Yishayim ask this kasha, and there are various tzirutzim given. Now this one of a Ben Yerichon and Luria, because it's so unique and interesting, I want to share it.
Sometimes when a person gives muster, you don't just want to come full throttle. You just kind of want to slow it up a little bit. And then it's a little easier to handle it when it's due.
And that's definitely true. That's definitely true. I think the kasha of the Rishonim is, though, that although that's the absolute truth, but Rashi is saying that the reason is because the correct way to show you so he doesn't want to openly speak about it.
Oh,
not only wants, yeah. No, not only wants to slow, take it slow, right?
Right.
Take it slow, they'll handle it better. You know, and such things are said in Chazal. Not that exactly what you're saying, but, you know, it says Ruvein b'chayriyata. Why not say anything until now? Because you were going to be embarrassed to face me. These kind of emotional, psychological burdens are brought in Chazal. Really. But in this case, what's said is that when they claim say so, we're not going to speak openly about what happened. But you are going to speak openly about what happened. An hour later, so what's going on? He says the pshat is as a. He says, and I'm going to read his lashon because it's Yeshleima katechocha latzibur. Rebuking the oilom, the crowd, the tzibur. Ein oiroi ki im la'av bezdin oirav muvhok. You want to give musa, it has to be av bezdin oirav muvhok. Now those are big titles there. What is that referring to? What's av bezdin oirav muvhok? So he asks the question himself. Ein oinik rav muvhok elo. Who's a rav muvhok? Misha malam eteir shabal peh. Only somebody who teaches Torah Shabbat Peh. So now he says, Moshe Rabbeinu himself went through two stages with Kol Yisrael. May also hear your Moshe Rabbeinu all of our sholim, avlach hachomim, v'lomad oisim Torah Shabbiksav, which is what he originally did, he taught Torah Shabbiksav, that was the time, o yoroi, v'yichiach latzibur beremez. That's when he was speaking obliquely, between the lines, giving Moshe the cause. You only teach in Teresh of Iksav, you can't do more than that. Avaloi bebiur, meaning not befeirish. Nekvaidim shal Yisrael. Respect the oilah. To ask yourself, who are you? And how does this become your position to be able to speak in such a way? Ochein, acharov ne'mar be'ever hayardein. Hoy il Moshe be'er. Es ha'tayro. And what does that mean, be'er es ha'tayro? So Rashi says, shivim l'shoynes. What's included in shivim l'shoynes, doctor? Hainu, toira shabal peh, v'sisrei toira. Be'er es ha'tayro doesn't only include a translation. This is not an off-scroll book that he was reading to them. He was translating the 70 languages, pshat, and he was giving them everything that's behind it. All the pirushim will be yurim. Teresh al-peh, sisrei toira. Ha'er shashiva, going to the ritual salvaging. He still remember Chavrusa, a couple of months ago, Chavrusa. Both Elul, that's what it was, Elul. When I first came, I was a bochel of 18 years old. I came with a night to Chavrusa. And the same thing happened the next year in Elul. I was with Elul Chavrusa, I don't know why, that's just the way it was. So at some point he says to me that, you know, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu translated and turned to Shivim Lashon. What was the pshat in that? He was a translator? That was the job he was given, to translate? Is that what this was all about? Absolutely not. He said there are certain subtleties that every language has to serve the Torah with, to give you a certain idea that you might not have understood just by the plain Lashon Kodesh word. But when it's given, every language has its nuance to it. And those are used, he says, to add a certain amount of havona to what's actually being meant and said by a certain word in Lashon Kodesh. For example, he tells me, he says, there's a Gemara in Bava Basra that says that walking around the boundaries of a property, stepping around the perimeter of the property is a Kenyan. So he says, look at the Ritva there. The Ritva says, possession belaz. To take possession. That's called taking possession. Now, what are you doing? You're walking around, that's all. But he says, if you know English, obviously he's bringing it from the French, not from the English, but whatever it is, it's the same word. Taking possession tells you more than just saying, you're walking around. So he says, but what should I do? He says, if I galant mitzvah Yerushalayim in Galait, he was learning mitzvah Yerushalayim in Galait when this came to him, he's learning inside, they don't know what possession means. So he says, they looked at me with blank eyes. Blank stare. I don't know what to say. I'm an actor. So he said, I did this. That's possession, he said. You grabbed it. You took it into your grip. That's what's going on there. That's called taking possession. So he did a pantomime to show them what it meant. Le'inyonenu, what he's actually saying is, when you are explaining things in different languages, again, it's not just about finding a word in a different language to tell somebody who doesn't understand. Because these are people who understood Lashon Kodesh. What's there more to add? What there's more to add is different languages add different shades of meaning and nuance to what's going on. To a degree, that's what's being said here by this Avinu Yochanan, who's saying, when we have it translated into all the languages, it's not what it's being in translation. Hainu Torah Shabal Pevesisrei Torah. All the different various shades of meaning that are in there. That's what's being spoken about over there. So, after Moshe Rabbeinu did that, now the Moshe Rabbon Muvok, now it's the Rav Muvok. By Chichon Bebior. So after it says that, suddenly see Moshe Rabbeinu openly speaking about whatever he wants to say, and he has to make less of a cheshbon now of, right? Watch out, who are you? If you want to say something between the lines, you learn Teresh Baal Peh, it's a different level.
For the whole 40 years, he was never teaching the Teresh
Baal Peh. Hold on, let me just finish last few words. You're saying good point. So he says, Behoving, I want you to understand this well. Ki b'harbe mekoymeis, bebi uri zois, wherever he writes, through the Teresh, bi'arti shekvoidom v'atlochosom sh'ayisur ha'koyl b'Teresh Baal Peh. Everything is in Teresh of Alpeh. That's where it's at. Teresh of Iksav, of course, is tremendously and supremely important. But Amaisa, Teresh of Alpeh is where it's all at. So only when you teach Teish about Peh do you get that level. So you're saying, where was he until then with Teish about Peh? Good question. And I think that that's probably a lot of what we're going to address as we work through other Yishenim on this Pasuk B'chlal, how they mocked him, what's even going on here in Parashat Devarim. But clearly there was a lot added, even not only because of the words Be'er Satzei Razor, you see that there are details added to mitzvahs that weren't there previously. There's more explanation given to mitzvahs here. And he's understanding that the primary mission of teaching Teresh about Petra Klal Yisrael happened here.
Why is that?
That's very interesting. That's what I said. I find it to be unique and interesting. In other words, he's saying the Tnai Techocha is not the Teresh about Pei, the Tnai Techocha. The Tnai Techocha is to be the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael.
Also,
Av Bezdin Movik, and Rav Movik. I think the word Movik is going above. In other words,
it's not just knowing the Shiv and Moshe.
It's not good enough. No, it has to be that you're teaching that class. Teaching the Shabbat class. And I think the Pshat is not because Pesach Peh is what brings along the Techocha. It's that it gives that person that specific maimed to be able to then have the right, not only to give Musa, he always gave, but to openly give Musa without having a big kasha that says, I'm not getting Mechaymai. Teaching Teresh Baal Peh, I'm the Rezach.
And that's the Kovod Kovod.
What's that?
And that's the Kovod Kovod. The Kovod Meisra.
Kovod of Meisra. That itself is the Kovod Meisra. So I think maybe between the lines what you're saying is that itself teaching Klal Yisrael that is giving them Kovod, so maybe you could also go against that Kovod Ke'ilu by openly speaking to them. Ken Oichet Zayin, that Pshat is, that the Santa Zach, I once heard, that Avot, I never saw it inside, I don't know where it would even be, but Avotna spoke of, what's the meaning of Rebbe Muvak? What's a Rebbe Muvak? Not the same as what it says here, right? But he says a different Pshat. But it's a dark. And that the Pshat is, he says, you know when you know somebody is a Rebbe Muvak? He says, when he says something that you already heard before, that you know already, either from him, you already heard it already before, or you heard it already from somewhere else, but you have a geschmack in it and you're connected to it and you're listening intently because it's coming from him. Now you see, it's not just the information that you're interested in, it's the person you're interested in. That, it's the way that as Rabbi Mufak. You know that you were kind to him and he was kind to you, right? In other words, but there is such a thing as a distinction between somebody who's imparting general information and somebody who has become personally your Rebbe. And that's really what he's speaking about over here when he speaks about Teresh Baal Peh. Now it could be, you know, based on your question, that Pshat is that maybe Teresh Baal Peh, because Mochal HaMaisis is nitnuli kosev, so even if somebody gives it over, there's still only a conduit to something that should anyway be readily available. Teresh Baal Peh is loy nitnuli kosev, and it's chatchila meant to not be had except by the agency of a Rebbe. And therefore, when he gave that over, is when he became the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. And now he's able to speak up. What do I think is very interesting you say to this Avin Yecha? Now, let's try to move on to some other Yishayim. So first of all, there's a fascinating Rabbeinu Bechaya, who speaks about the unique beginning of this Sefer. Eilu Hadvor Mashadibah Merishol Kol Yisrael. All of the parashas, all of the svarim from Bereshis and on, Shemoyis, Vayikra, Bamidva, all begin with a vav, which means a continuation from before. Right? Ve'ele Shemoyis b'nei Yisrael, Vayikra el Moshe, Vayidah b'el Shom Moshe, Bamidva Sinai. All of them start with a vav. Only here it starts with Eile Advar, not Ve'ele Advarim. Why is that? This is sort of a disconnection between what it previously said and what is being said over here. Why is that so, he says?
Kind of a separate sefer.
Huh?
The Rebbe is kind of a separate sefer.
So it's going to be the point that he wants to make here, and he wants to, I guess, give it a little bit more depth of meaning to why, how and why that is. So he says, this fifth sefer, although it is part of what was said before, and although HaKoyel Kesher Echod Ubinyon Echod, it's one Torah, but it's also Irif Ne'atzma. And he uses such a fascinating example, like the Krakauer, being a steady listener to some Beis Adin, you may have some insight into what we're about to say here. Look at that. You never thought it was going to give you anything, yeah? Look at that. Like that, I was like, it's just like an esrog, he says. Like the fact that you have any recollection when you have discussed the difference between an esrog and all the meaning? Okay, I'm not going to test you. Let's figure it out. The esrog, he says, mitzad echod, he says, it's miyuchid im sho'or minov. She'im mitzvot e'elohim mo'ev. You don't have a mitzvah, only an esrog. It's not going to work. The whole thing of an esrog on sukkahs gives you no mitzvah at all. It's the mitzvah of all four. But for whatever reason, which means three meaning are tied together. Besides the fact that they're part of the mitzvah, they're tied together and they need to be tied together. And one esrog is part of one mitzvah, but it's not tied together. Right? So we have the three in the right hand, they're all tied together. In the left hand, you have the esrog. What's that? Yud Kei Vav is in the right hand, and the Hei Tator, the second Hei, is in the left hand. What's going on there? What's going on there is like this. The Yud Kei is the Rebbeinu Shalom before the world, above the world. The Kaviyochel was still in the Rebbeinu Shalom's head before he even created the world. He's only thinking about the world and planning it. But it hasn't come down to any Lamaisa yet. That's the Yud and the Hei. That shall suffice for right now. The Vav is the Pnimius behind the Olam Hazeh, which means the feelings Kaviyochel that the Rebbeinu Shalom put in, the motivations Kaviyochel that the Rebbeinu Shalom put in, the excitement Kaviyochel that the Rebbeinu Shalom has about this world, the love he has towards the people there, etc. And the building blocks. The last Tei is what's called the Malchus. The Malchus is this world as it appears, Lamaisa, with everything else behind it and in it. But Lamaisa, where are we? We're in that bottom Hay. That's this world. And this world is disconnected from everything above. We're blind here. There's a space between us and the Elohim HaZolayim. We're distanced. Right? And therefore, when we take Lulav with Hadassim and Arovas, which refers to those three Oasis of the Shem, we take the Esrog Dafka as a separate piece because it is a separate piece. This world is separate from the Elohim. However, probably everybody is aware of the fact that this mitzvah has to work in a way that not only all four are taken together, but when we take this esrog, which is not tied, and we put it as close together as we can, because we want to be miyachid, this world with everything that's above it. In other words, that means to connect ourselves and our world with the Ribbono Shel Olam, with his elokus, with his pnimius, with Olam Habo, with Mashal Amalo, with everything else, right? We want to bring the world back to the way the Rebbeinu Shalom has it within Kaviyochel, within his own mind. So that's the esrog, Rabbeinu Bechaya. That's the esrog, yeah?
Take it one step further.
Yeah.
You put the esrog right up against the lulav.
Yeah.
What happens? The esrog gets worn. And it starts leaking the oils. And it turns brown. And it goes. You get too close. You want to get close, but if it's too close, you get...
That's one way to look at it.
There's two chassidus there someplace.
I'm not sure. It could be the chassidus who go the other way. It could be that the closer you bring it to the other world, the more appeals away of the this world leaders. That's a dosi dipshat. I'll go upon him like he says, Devorim... Wait one second. So he says, Devorim... Hakoil kasher binyan echad, but he knew inim mifnei atzmai. Kinyan esrog shu miyuchad im minov she'ein mitzvot elohim moem, aval hu bifnei atzmai she'ein lo ogdei be'egid sholem. V'chein hei shniyo shabashem shehi midas hadin rofa. The malchus is called midas hadin rofa. Why is that? Because it's Rebbeinu Shlomo milamalo, but it's titled in this world as it is. Unless we connect it to above, to the Chesed Hashem, which is behind it and which is creating it every second, this world we want it to be as it is, as it runs itself. Ilu Kaviyo, the person wants to ignore the measurement of this world. You end up banging into every wall possible. Midas Adin Rofa. Well, the Kachnikas Sefer HaMisha has a Mishneh Torah. Mishneh Torah. What's Mishneh Torah? It suggests, right? It suggests that it's a separate repetition of the rest of the Torah, right? In Sforim it says, Mishnah Torah is the memutza. It's what's in between Torah Shebiktav and Torah Shebiktav. It is Torah Shebiktav, but it's the first step downward toward Torah Shebiktav. And therefore, he says, pay attention, he says, and you're going to notice that Moshe Rabbeinu uses a different terminology when he mentions the Rebbeinu Shleim in this Sefer than he ever mentions in the other Sforim. Al atam hazeh yinuhig Moshe lahazkir tomin v'sefer hazeh Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Elokecho, Hashem Elokeinu, timtzokem v'sh'or Sforim ha'kveidman. Hakavon al midas adin. This Sefer is connected to Malchus, which is connected to midas adin, right? And therefore, the word Elokeinu, Elokecho, is used the whole time instead of just Hashem. Hashem Elokeinu divir Eleinu b'chayiv leimah. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, right? Hashem Elokecho eish oichlo, which is what he ends off by saying. Hashem Elokecho eish oichlohu, right? So this sort of description of the Rebbeinu Shem that's here is used uniquely over here because it's the kind, because it's taka representing the Midas Hadin, which is represented by the Malchus Shamayim Shabaseich Olam Hazeh, right? Which is approached as Din. If we want, we can throw in a few words over here. Whoever wants could erase this part because it's not saying Rabbeinu Bechaya, but you know, it could be that the shtickel nafkemina between Av and Melech, right? We say Avinu Malkeinu. The Malchus is Malkeinu, right? And Melech Shemolech Mochal Akvoyde and Kvoyde Mochal, right? Im Kavodim Einenu Luchot Tluy Es Ashet Chonenu, right? That's Malchus. Av is only the higher Madregas, further up towards the source. Not the way this world as it is on the openest, on the most simple level, right? And that's Av. Av Shemochal HaKvedi Kvedi Mochal. That's the Rebbeinu Shem Mitzat His love to us. And so therefore, when we're speaking of the Rebbeinu Shem on the level of Malchus, we're speaking more of Din. Therefore, it doesn't only say Hashem, Midas HaRachman, but B'Shiluv, it says that together with Elokeinu, Elokecho, there's a certain distance, and that is how it represents. The Yesterig represents the Heita Torah, represents the Shechina B'Tachteinim, the Malchus, which again, like you said, is Midas Adin Rofa. So that's Rabbeinu Bechai over here. Now we're sticking out of time on this, even though there's so much more to say. But
the first thing could be, when we learn this safer, David Zvarim,
it's not Teresh Malpe, right? But it's what's called the memutza between Teresh Malpe and Teresh Malpe, right?
Okay.
So we have an interesting thing, you know, from Chassidim of a minig, that Sukkos, the eighth day of Sukkos, Shmini Atzeret, they sit in the Sukkah but not the whole time, right? Only a Kiddush in the Sukkah in the morning, let's say, or whatever it is, they go into the house some of the time, and he's inside the house, washing inside the house, washing outside the house, also Mamush. And one of the Chassidus, I think I don't remember who right now, said that you find that at the end of every Yom Tov, such Yom Tovim, is like this halfway house. Before you go back into your house and into your mundane life and into the weekday, you can't just get a drop down out of nowhere from the top of Kedusha and the top of closest Sebrejah, boom. Right? The Moshe Leib Sasser was very concerned about that, which is why at the end of Yom Tov he said, and everyone should know that the Zelbe God from Atta Chayin Antonu is the same God as Atta B'chartonu. Why do you have to say that? Because it's not so easy to feel that. Right? You're spending time with your Rebbeinu Shleim for an entire week, and all of a sudden, boom, it's gone.
Is that right? Why with Yom Kippur already, four days later, we have a Yom Tov, probably, because if we didn't have a Yom Tov...
And besides that, it says, Nalocha, you should immediately start the Sukkah on my Yom Kippur, right?
But I'm saying if we didn't have a Yom Tov, we would just fall
off. Also probably true, but like I'm saying, also the end of Pesach, the end of Sukkah, right? It's not to fall out immediately, right? That's called a Mamutza.
Maybe we should have a Yom Tov the whole year round. It would never end.
Well, you see, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be the rest of the year, which is Mekabel, what you take from the Yom Tov. And it's a good question of how you do that. But anyway, that's the Mamutza. The Mamutza between Teresh B'Kstav and Teresh B'Per. Now I want to take a look at once to go at Chaim, at least if we finish it, I'll look at another one. We're looking at Perik Aleph Pasuk Lamed Zayin, which begins Gam Bi His Anaf Hashem Beglalchem. Perik Aleph Pasuk Lamed Zayin. It takes us into Shaychus to what we are involved in right now in our lives in Yom Yerushalayim. Kosha, Esther Chaim HaKadosh Akasha. Ali loy motzino, she's anaf Hashem al-Moshe b'avoyin ha-meraglim. Which means, the Pasuk says, that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, when a chet ha-meraglim happened, the Moshe was angry at me because of you, and therefore he told me I can't go into Eretz Yisrael. Now he says, look back at the story, it's not exactly what it says. It doesn't actually say that. We don't actually find that the Moshe was angry at Moshe because of the meraglim. Nor is that the place where Moshe Rabbeinu was told that he's not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. So why is he saying that? So the Rambam says that the Pshat is Rambam Pirish V'Omar. He explains, the Pshat is V'Oidu Yisaftim L'Hora Pamacher. It's a different time. And maybe Mirivi also did bad. He made the Rambam upset. Atzik Rambam was out of B. Atka. And you caused a different occasion for Rambam to be upset at me. Which means, it's not part of the context of what's being said here. It's about a different story. Because look at the pasuk afterwards. So can I cause of achazer? The tapchem asher amartum avaz yir at seif apasher whom adav b'nei miraglim. The whole thing is about the miraglim. Nothing is about meimer evil. Why am I hipstick with such an inyan b'shalay kenya? Why in the middle of the subject would he mix in something that's not the subject? Umashe heilitz horav, but the Ramban. Sort of defended himself or excused himself. Or this pshat. That he wanted to possibly mention all together, all the different people who are not going into Eretz Yisrael, which they caused at all different occasions. What's the pleasure of doing that? Of bringing every bad thing that happened at the same time? In the middle of a story, finish the story. A different story, we'll speak about that later. Therefore, he's the only in a different pshat. Anochi who are Peter Vrem, Zal, Gemara, seven times. Shomer of the Pasuk, Vayivku, Alma Laila, who famous, Chazal, and the Gemara, Klal Yisrael cried on that night when the Meraglim came back, and Kovu Bechiel Adais. Which means that was the cause of Tisha B'Av. Hilel Tisha B'Av Ha'Yisrael, Shaboy Necher of Habayis. They cried, it was the night of Tisha B'Av, and that's the night that caused the Bechiel Adais. That's the night of Tisha B'Av that caused the Chorbonis of the Bate Mikdash years later on that same night. Vomruoit, he also said, further, Tuhan Tzaita, Shemhoya nichnas Moshe lo'oret, Shemhoya boina beis ha-migdash, lo'i hoya ha-bayis nechrov, she'inu mevaloshon egas boi. Which means, if Moshe Rabbeinu was built a beis ha-migdash, nobody could touch a beis ha-migdash that Moshe Rabbeinu had built. So the beis ha-migdash could not be destroyed. So we have so far two facts. Number one, the night of Tisha B'Av was nikva that the ha-migdash should be destroyed. Number two, Moshe Rabbeinu goes into Eretz Yisrael, Beis HaMikdash cannot be destroyed. Number three, Omruoi, the Medrash Tehillim, the Pasuk Mizvel also, the Kim Bo Goyim and Achol Sechav, Zol Shainer, Kinomi Boyle, why does it say Mizvel also that Beis HaMikdash is destroyed? We have a song, Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. It shouldn't be a song. It should be a lamentation. So why does it say Mizmo rather than Kino? Because there's a certain aspect of it that says it's a song. Why? Al shehishlich hamoseh al etzim ha'avonim. Rather than the Rebbeinu Shel Olam express his wrath at sticks and stones. Okay, so those are the three facts. Now let's put the three together and it's amazing. Beautiful pshat. Lama is brilliant. Me'atah, im ho yonichnas Moshe lo'oretz, Moshe Rabbeinu come into Eretz Yisrael, ho yabayinu beis ha'migdosh. He would have built the beis ha'migdosh. U'lahashlich hamoseh alav, lo'yefshak. In this case, Rebbeinu Shel now cannot expend his wrath on the Beis HaMikdash because it can't be destroyed. V'yichar af Hashem b'sein Yisrael. Falsh n'sagi nohir, obviously. Right? V'yichil yoinim v'kreim chorban abayit. They shall all peat. Instead of destroying the Beis HaMikdash, the people would be destroyed. But this, what does the Beis HaMikdash do? Gozar Hashem b'gzeres ha-meragnum gam al-moish Hashem v'tamidbo. You hear this? The same night that the Beis HaMikdash says, Klal doesn't be thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be a destruction. Hey, what's going to happen? The Beis HaMikdash is not an option to destroy. Who's going to be destroyed? Everyone else. So Moshe Rabbeinu cannot go into Eretz Yisrael. Because if he goes into Eretz Yisrael, Klal Yisrael Chas V'Sholem will end up being destroyed on Tisha B'Av.
But he was officially punished for hitting the rock, right?
Leave that. Leave that. I'll deal with that at the end. So one second. So what does he say? He says, at the same time that Klal Yisrael gets to there that they can't go into Eretz Yisrael right now, and that they're going to have a Tisha B'Av, at that same time, come, this Taira, Moshe Rabbeinu can't come into Eretz Yisrael. V'hu oimroi, gam bi yitzan av Hashem, beglal lechem. Right, the Lashon is beglal lechem, not bishvil lechem, but beglal lechem. What's glal? Pish begilgul dvarim shel lechem, which means, not directly because of you, but indirectly because of you. Kim lo yehoi oven amiraglam, v'yin nechmasim. If there was no Avinu Raglan, they would go into Eretz Yisrael and everything would be fine. Ef sheshehoi yonichmas Moshe imohem. Moshe Rabbeinu could have also gone in with them, theoretically. Vagam sheyivna beis hamikdash, okay, let him build it. Emechash, what's the problem? Ki lo yinizgabe b'chinas harama, you ain't the mitzitkom ba'ayat. You go to Eretz Yisrael, remain tzadikim there, with Moshe Rabbeinu, and there wouldn't be any destruction. El meyam tzores Avinu Raglan govro yad risho. Right, it's because of Avinu Raglan, the evil unfortunately gained power. It's not going to remain that way. It's going to be a tishol. It's going to be a churban. Where the Rebbe Shem tells him clearly, so all he says is going to mess up, and it's going to be a churban. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu can't go in kumtoy because of the chait amiraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu can't go in Eretz Yisrael. Aye, fractavum dive. And Taimar, earlier, Yanni, Shmises, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's on Meimer Eva. It's not the cause of the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Clearly says that it's the cause of Meimer Eva. Not because of the miraculous. How do you tell me it's because of the miraculous? Makasav Kishom, in Chukas, when he speaks of the Meimer Eva, Sheim Moshe, Yim Kadesh, Shemoy Yisborach, at that point, although it was La'achar Maisa of the story of the miraculous, he could have fixed up this mess here. He could have brought Klal Yisrael back to their darga of Kiddush Hashem of before the Chet HaMeraglim Bem. So it's Kiddush Hashem HaGodol, which he would have made. And therefore, Hashem Mati Yeshu as Moshe, but he nichnas l'oret, so b'yinim yis HaMikdash, Moshe Yishev Tehe Lomer. Moshe Rabbeinu could have gone to Eretz Yisrael. Klal Yisrael would have been going back to their Madrega. Moshe Rabbeinu would go to Eretz Yisrael. He would build the Beit HaMikdash. And there would be no Churban at all. It would all be fine. Problem was that that didn't happen. Because it didn't happen, Klal Yisrael remained on the level that he were at Chet HaMeraglim. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu can't come in, so they should be able to be a Churban. Which is what Klal Yisrael unfortunately earned by means of the Maaseh of the Meraglim. So that's why it's a brilliant shot, how he explains, can be it's the Anaf Hashem beglal chem, who treffed Manazah Zach, that it was their fault, and because of the Meraglim, he didn't go to Eretz Yisrael. And it is. There's no other way to do it unless he doesn't go in. Now let's turn back to a much earlier shtickle. So that was the piece on the Churban. That's the Yom Diyan. There's a beautiful shtickle in Perik Aleph, Posik Aleph, which begins Be'ever Hayarde. I'll start a little slightly in the middle because you know, maybe we'll manage to get through a couple of lines before my time. So it's on the second page of what I gave you there. Aleph Posik Aleph Be'ever Hayarde. In the spot, like five lines down, the Epshel of Farish. Kol HaKotav. Epshel of Farish, Kol HaKotav. Right? See that? Epshel of Farish, Kol HaKotav, Derech Remez Goyif and Achim. Keep a mikro muot in one small posset. Lomad Moshe Klovus Yiras Hashem. The entire cloud of Yiras Hashem, Umidois HaGunois HaTzrichim, Lohilchim HaTeiras Hashem. Yeah? All the midas that you need to follow the Torah, they need this tisha, 9 meters that you need in order to have your shamayim and follow the Torah. Now we're not going to get to all of them. If we get to one, we'll already be very excited. Halif, sheyeh lo ikeach midosoi shel Avrohom. Tekziv l'Avrohom ho Ivri. Moshe Rabbeinu was called Ivri. V'hu masherom az v'oimroi be'ever. What's that Avrohom ho Ivri? So there are various parts of it, but one of the Pirushim is, he's oiver mimakim lamakim. He's oiver mimakim lamakim, meaning he never felt like he was a permanent settler in this place. Avraham Avinu was passing through. That's one shot in Avraham or Ivri. Midos Yishol Avraham. Right? He's also Midos Yishol Avraham of Avraham Be'everech, called Be'everecheni, which means, and which is probably closely related to the other shot, which means he kept himself on whatever side he belonged on, no matter if the whole world was on the other side. He fought for his principles. So that's all. Beis, she yamardus beliboy tomit. Koim ramzal, toiv amardus achas, beliboy shal odom imeya malkuyus. In other words, a person afflicts himself inside, gives himself Musar inside, makes a true and real cheshbon on nefesh, that's called Mardus Achas, and that's called Hayarden. I say this person afflicting himself on the inside. So we have Eiver, who's passing through, like Avraham Avinu. We have a Yarden that's afflicting himself. Gimel, Midas Anova. So Imram Zal, La'oyulom yosim odom asmoi kemidbar. Person should make himself like a desert. A desert is low and hefka, right? So he doesn't find himself, doesn't take himself too seriously. So that's speaking of humility. That's the third midah. Dalid shetiyeh ho'anovo v'derech hano'ois loy v'derech hapchisus hanim'os. Now here he's following the Rambam and Hilchos Deos, and the Rambam is pointing to Prokhmo Rambam. The Rambam speaks about how even anovo has to be done in the proper way, not in a way where a person poshut chas v'shalom humiliates or disrespects himself. To my shikos around Hilchos Deos, that it has to be v'derech hamemutzo oitnai anovo shalom yishtamish bo laharchik teichocho yisal ovoin and here ish oiver pi Hashem yemi mi ani umi beisil eichech anoshim gedoilu. Person has to also limit his anova to be able to speak up when he's supposed to. Now, tzorich lechiach letzad chiyuv arvus, asher omos bo'imroi bo'arov, kol al beizvarim. Two things are included in this word bo'arov. Aleph, shetia, anova, arevo. Anova should be sweet, meaning it should be done properly in a balanced way. Derech oimroi metzoh chim v'seichel toi, eini alikim v'adam. And beiz, the other part that's in bo'arov, is chiyuv arvus, sheitzarech lechiach al ovar. A custom regarded, if a lawyer established by another being there, he should be responsible for other people, even if he's a big owner. Right? Who's he to speak up? Yeah, this is, he has to speak up when it's in his place to speak up, despite his great anivus. I think we're going to have to stop here. Yeah?
Yeah.